Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Well, there's a movie coming out chronicling the horrors that were perpetrated by Kermit Gosnell. Now, you might have to rewind your memory a little bit a couple years ago to remember that name. He was an abortionist who turned out to be, well, not just the horror of an abortionist, but the horror of a mass murderer as well. He sits in prison for life. How is it that, well, maybe you never even heard the name? How is it that he was able to operate his house of horrors, his office of horrors, out there in the open without the law enforcement or the health department, for that matter, looking into what he was doing in his abortion clinic? And then how was it further after those things were exposed that the media just didn't pay much attention to his crimes or to his trial? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about the story of abortionist Kermit Gosnell. Joining us to do so, Pastor Jonathan Lang. He's leader of the Wyoming Pastors Network, pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Evanston, Wyoming, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kemmerer, Wyoming. He's author of a column for The Federalist titled How America's Most Prolific Serial Killer Almost Got Away with Murder. Jonathan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on. It's always good to talk to you, Todd.
Is there a single reason that explains why Kermit Gosnell got away with what he was doing for decades, in spite of the fact that there had been reports of atrocities in his abortion clinic, and that after he was caught, it took so long for the media to pay attention to his crimes and to his trial?
Well, yeah, that nobody is so blind as he who will not see. And we do not, as a culture, we do not want to look at abortion honestly. And so he was hiding in plain sight. What he was doing was done in the cover of an abortion clinic in downtown Philadelphia, and he was able to get away with it for decades because people were afraid to look into it, from the media to the governor.
So talk about what it was Kermit Gosnell got away with for so many years before he was caught and finally imprisoned for life.
Well, what he was doing is instead of committing abortions, what he was actually doing is inducing labor and having nurses in his absence induce labor. And then when the baby came out, they would be brought and put on shelves in a room, and he would come in later and then use scissors to snip their spinal cord if they hadn't already died by the time he got there.
How many victims are estimated? I know it's almost impossible because he was disposing of bodies in kind of charnel house ways, but at least how many counts were they able to charge him with?
Well, they charged him with, I believe, 5 counts of murder and then 1 count of manslaughter because of a woman who died at his clinic, who was given drugs and given an overdose by nurses in his absence. And so, but then in the end, I think he was finally convicted on 2 counts of murder and 1 count of manslaughter. But that does not tell the story at all. And there's really no way of knowing how many of these babies were murdered over the course of about 30 years, because he had this practice that had been going all the way back. And you can only do estimates by the law of averages, but he was doing late-term abortions for all of this time, and the way he was doing the late-term abortion was by inducing labor, and then here was the phrase that he used, that he taught his nurses to use, ensuring fetal demise by snipping their necks after they were born. And so we just don't know how many there were.
Talk about how it finally came to light, how the crimes finally were recognized, and then at very long last, the media started paying attention to this story.
Sure. The crimes came to light actually by way of a drug bust. Through a drug bust of a person in Philadelphia, they got word that Kermit Gosnell was actually writing scripts. He had an illegal drug trade going on the side out of his clinic, and that's how the DEA got involved with the FBI. And so they raided the clinic looking for evidence of his illegal drug operation. And it was only upon raiding that clinic then that the Philadelphia police, who were along on the raid, that's when they saw all the evidence of the murders going on. So it was really quite by accident, because the Department of Health had not been inspecting for the last 17 years, and so it took the Philadelphia police to stumble upon the evidence. And that's a big part of the story, is that, again, I mean, the authorities shutting their eyes to the realities, even when the Philadelphia police brought their case to the district attorney. The district attorney was very, very reluctant to give them authority to continue to press charges, because Gosnell was actually blurring the line between abortion and murder, and out of fear that this would veer into a trial about abortion, they almost didn't prosecute it. And that maybe brings us into the second part of the story. How did the media get into it? Because they, too, even though everybody expected the media to show up in droves, there were crickets. And there was a famous photograph that was snapped of pews that were reserved for reporters during the trial that were utterly empty. And this went on for 20 days of trial, until finally it was Molly Hemingway, who was then a reporter for Get Religion, who published the story about the media blackout of the trial. And then she didn't let it go. She kept on tweeting things out. She kept on publishing, I think, six more stories in the next 9 days, and eventually kind of shamed the media into responding. And it was actually Kirsten Powers, who was a reporter for USA Today at the time, that published an editorial in USA Today, which finally broke the dam and got the reporters to the trial. And once the reporters showed up at the trial, the horrors were just too much to ignore. And finally, it got reported to the American public.
We're telling the story of abortionist Kermit Gosnell. Pastor Jonathan Lang is our guest, author of a column for The Federalist titled "How America's Most Prolific Serial Killer Almost Got Away with Murder." When we come back, what is Kermit Gosnell's disposition today? The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's life ministry is devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and in the culture at large. They've produced numerous free pro-life resources. Check them out at lcms.org/life. Advocating for the unborn, weak, and vulnerable, LCMS Life Ministry, lcms.org/life. When we come back, we'll talk more about Kermit Gosnell. Then Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the burning bush in Exodus chapter 2 through 4. And Rod Dreher of the American Conservative will be with us to get a cultural perspective on Justice Kavanaugh's confirmation. It's as easy to learn as your ABC.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners notice first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Jonathan Lang, author of a column for The Federalist titled How America's Most Prolific Serial Killer Almost Got Away with Murder, telling the story of abortionist and mass murderer Kermit Gosnell. Pastor Lang, what is Kermit Gosnell's disposition right now?
Well, he is serving life without parole. I was unable to find which facility he's in, but the author of the book upon which this movie is based has interviewed him face-to-face in prison, and he is still in his an incredibly delusional world. The whole time through the trial, he acted as though everything he did was absolutely normal and that he would be acquitted. He was just one of the things that they did throughout the course of the movie is to try to depict his disposition accurately according to the interviews, and it is just remarkable. For instance, while they were searching his home for more evidence, I know, again, it was a filthy squalor with files and cats and all kinds of stuff. He was sitting down at the piano playing classical music as though nothing in the world was wrong. And it just shows you, I think, what happens to the human mind after decades of lying to yourself about what you're doing. I mean, he's totally delusional, spending his life in prison.
There are those who would argue, and I kind of want your pastoral perspective on this, Pastor Lang, those who would argue that Kermit Gosnell was simply a sociopath who happened to be an abortionist. And so he's the outlier. He's the exception that proves the rule. Most abortionists aren't so callous. They certainly aren't deranged or delusional. How would you respond to that?
I think it makes one deranged. I do. We should remember that it is still very difficult to look into abortion. And so Kermit Gosnell is not the only one that has a practice which is doing this. He's just one of the few who got caught. We should remember that there was another one down in Houston not too long after Gosnell's trial where an abortionist was doing similar things. Again, I think between the self-deception and the utter carnage of what's involved every day in your life, I don't think it can leave a person unscathed. And maybe for one more bit of evidence to back up that pastoral perspective is to go online and look at the website for nurses and doctors who have left the abortion industry and to let them tell their own story. And I think they will back that up as well.
How would you speak to someone who is in that position, who has maybe spent their life or a part of their career aiding and abetting in abortions? What would you say to them?
Well, I think, first of all, I would say to them that Christ died for the sins of the world, even the worst sins of the world, and that they are not left to themselves, but Christ has atoned for all sins. And with repentance, just as the people of Nineveh were spared by God in their repentance, so also any of us can be spared in our repentance. And we don't have to live in that world where we are deluding ourselves about the seriousness of our sins.
Finally, Pastor Lang, do we need laws in our country, sunshine laws for abortion clinics, so that not only to prevent the extreme that we see there in the Gosnell Clinic and others like it, but simply to keep that abortion industry honest about what they're doing and perhaps shine a little light on what actually happens inside an abortion clinic?
I think absolutely. Two things about the sunshine laws that you called them. One of them is that many states, Wyoming including, has laws on the books about abortion reporting, so that we can actually get concrete data about how best to take care of the people of the state of Wyoming. And yet, in 2016, there were only 5 abortions in the state of Wyoming which were reported. And yet the Guttmacher Institute, the arm of Planned Parenthood that does their statistics, indicated that in that same year there were 384 abortions performed in Wyoming. So that's a 75% or 75 times what was actually reported. And this is because our reporting laws have no teeth in them. The abortionists in the state of Wyoming and all over the place are thumbing their nose at the law because there's no consequences if they don't report. And so not only do we need strong reporting laws so that we can inspect and find out the truth, but we also need to make sure that there is enforcement and teeth in those laws to make sure that people actually follow them.
Pastor Jonathan Lang is leader of the Wyoming Pastors Network. He's pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Evanston, Wyoming, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kemmerer, Wyoming. He's author of a column for The Federalist titled, How America's Most Prolific Serial Killer Almost Got Away with Murder. Read it for yourself at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jonathan, thank you very much, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Todd. Have a blessed day.